So thanks everyone for joining us today for this webinar on the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. My name is Peter Rauchy, and I'm an outreach officer at the Institute of International Education. I'm based in New York City. I'm joined today by my colleague, Michelle Bellucci.
Hi, everybody, and welcome.
Today we're going to cover some foundational information about the Fulbright program, and then we're also going to have a look at what's new for the competition, which just launched this week. So thanks again, everyone, for joining us. You're literally joining us right at the beginning of our 2020-2021 competition. So let's look at some information about the Fulbright program. The program was established in 1946 to expand and strengthen the relationship between people of the United States and other countries. This is a really, really important consideration. It's such an interesting aspect of the program, the sort of foundation of the program, but it's really important to consider this when you're writing your applications and when you're applying to the Fulbright program. The very DNA of the program is all about increasing mutual understanding, and strong candidates for the Fulbright program speak to that aspect of the work that they're proposing to do through the program. So it's super interesting, but it's also incredibly important to remember that as you're crafting your application, that as a Fulbrighter, you're an ambassador. You are representing the United States abroad on the Fulbright U.S. programs. So really that's important to consider when you're applying to the program. The Fulbright program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs. It's administered in part in the U.S. by the Institute of International Education's Council for the International Exchange of Scholars. I want to go over some numbers, Fulbright and numbers, a bit. As a Fulbrighter, you're in great company. There have been over 380,000 grants awarded since the inception of the program, and we send about 800 U.S. scholars abroad annually. Throughout the umbrella of Fulbright programs, we work with about 160 different participating countries, and our alumni include heads of state, Nobel laureates, recipients of the Pulitzer Prize and the Presidential Medal of Freedom, MacArthur Fellows, and many other great distinctions. And again, as a Fulbrighter, you are in wonderful, wonderful company. I want to talk also about the diversity, inclusion, and inclusion statement of the Fulbright program. So Fulbright really strives to ensure that it reflects the diversity of the U.S. society and societies abroad. We encourage involvement in the program from folks from underrepresented audiences in all of our grants, programs, and initiatives. Opportunities are open to people regardless of their race, color, national origin, sex, age, religion, geographic location, socioeconomic status, disability, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Really, the spirit behind this is that there isn't one American experience. There isn't one kind of American. So really, with the sense of increasing mutual understanding, the Fulbright program does seek to engage a diverse and inclusive set of scholars in our competition and in our programs. And now I'm going to pass off to my colleague Michelle to talk about some other parameters of the Fulbright program.
Thank you, Peter. So what we're talking about today is specifically opportunities for U.S. citizens to participate in the U.S. Scholar Program to teach and research abroad. In addition to teaching and research awards, we also offer International Education Administrator Seminars. And these seminars, also known as IEA seminars, will be there's more information about that, but those are essentially two-week seminars in seven designated countries, and so those are really focused on administrators who are tasked with internationalizing their campus. You can see the vast majority of awards are for the traditional teaching and research programs, and about 7% in this past cycle were in the IEA realm. Now, in terms of eligibility, the baseline eligibility I mentioned is U.S. citizenship, and then depending on the award, it'll be the degree or teaching experience, et cetera. So the vast majority of awards in our awards catalog, and there are about a little over 450 unique award offerings, the vast majority do require a PhD or a terminal degree. So if, you know, in some fields, a PhD is not the terminal degree, such as in law, a JD would qualify as a terminal degree, or an MFA in the arts, et cetera. But there are several awards that are open to professionals, you know, that maybe have a master's degree or several years of academic experience, or, you know, newly minted PhDs, et cetera. So if you find yourself to have, you know, you're a recent graduate with either a master's or a bachelor's, I encourage you to visit our Fulbright U.S. student program website. You don't need to be enrolled as a student, but it is for recent graduates. So the Scholar Program is really targeted at faculty, professionals, independent researchers, and artists, and those that have substantial experience in the field. Some awards do require a certain number of years of teaching experience. And other than that, in terms of who else is eligible to apply, we certainly encourage veterans to apply. And if you have received a Fulbright Scholar grant in the past, you're welcome to reapply to the program. There are some guidelines and policies that you can view on our eligibility page. But essentially, we do require a 2-year waiting period from the time that you completed your grant to the time of application. If you've received a Fulbright Specialist grant or are considering applying to the Specialist program, you're more than welcome to apply for the Scholar program. Okay, so the Scholar program at its core is really supporting teaching and research projects. And at the minimum, we have grants that are 2 months and then all the way up to a year. So typically, 3 to 6 months is what you would see, you know, to be in alignment with the semester or perhaps 2 semester grant lengths. The program is active in over 130 countries, so there's certainly lots to choose from, and we'll be going over some of the regional highlights today. As I mentioned, opportunities are available for faculty and independent scholars and researchers, as well as administrators and professionals, including artists, journalists, lawyers, etc. There are several awards that are open to all disciplines. We do feature a bunch of awards that are very specific, and they kind of read like job descriptions. But about half of the catalog has awards that are open to all disciplines, and so it's really something that's open to everyone, and you'll even notice sometimes some specializations listed. But if it's an all disciplines award, that means really any appropriate discipline to that country and for that grant purpose is eligible. How it works is you would approach the awards catalog, and Peter and I are going to walk you through that later on in the webinar, and you apply to a specific award. So you can only apply to one award, so it's important to be very, you know, weighing all of the options that you have so that you make the right choice. And you apply with a specific project in mind. That could be a teaching project, you know, teaching proposal, or a research project, or a project that involves both teaching and research. You'll see here in the graphic, there's no real particular preference. This is just a breakdown of what our scholars did last year. So, you know, there are some awards that are strictly for research only. There are also some awards that are strictly for teaching. And so, and then, of course, the ones that are teaching and research, usually that's up to the scholar to choose that combination. So I don't want any of you to think that there's only one way to get a Fulbright. There's certainly several options, and it's important to look at the award description and see what that country or that award is seeking. The application deadline for this year is September 16th. It is different from years in the past, and so please note the deadline, September 16th. And in terms of where you can do a Fulbright grant, there are a variety of options. It might not necessarily be a university that you would affiliate with, depending on your research project. It's important to look at what the award description states for that particular grant, whether you're allowed to affiliate with a non-governmental organization, NGO, or a think tank, or a museum, an archive, et cetera. But certainly all of that is mentioned in the award description, as well as sometimes suggested host institutions. Okay, so what we're going to be doing today is focusing just on a few highlights and some new awards, kind of taking you around the world to the various regions that we have in the awards catalog. And then I want to alert you that in the coming weeks, we will be hosting individual regional webinars for all of these regions here, and then later on, discipline-focused webinars, et cetera. So, for example, if you're in if your background is law, we'll have a law webinar. If your background is economics, stay tuned for the economics and business webinar. For now, we're just going to go through the regions, and we're going to start with East Asia and the Pacific. So this region essentially covers everything from Burma and Thailand, the whole, you know, Southeast Asia area, as well as Australia and New Zealand. So there's several award opportunities available in this region. Some of the highlights are featured here, the ASEAN Research Program. So that is a collaborative research project that allows you to be in several countries that are part of the ASEAN governmental regional group. There are 5 grants available for that. That is a research-only project that you would be proposing, and it's a wonderful way to engage with the region as a whole. If you see the award description, you'll note which countries participate in that. So that's one great multi-country option in the region. Australia has the Resources and Energy Award at Curtin University. This is a research grant as well. And while we're speaking of Australia, I want to point out they have several awards available. So Australia is quite a large hosting country. They offer 4 unique postdoc awards at specific universities. They offer 6 distinguished chair awards, and those are the higher level research chairs or research and teaching chairs where you would essentially function as a chair of that department. And so Australia does have a lot, so please check out the award offerings there. Cambodia has a nice all disciplines award, and they do look for placements across the country, not just in the capital. Korea also has an interesting award. It's the Peace Studies. We've had this in the past, and it's here again, which is great. It's an opportunity to teach at the Graduate Institute of Peace Studies. And so if you're interested, or if your background is related to peace studies, Korea would be a great option. Philippines, the one I wanted to feature today is the Research Grant in U.S.-Philippines Relations. So this is great for experts who are really looking to kind of sink their teeth in U.S.-Philippines relations and the just being there on the ground and doing research and collecting information. So Philippines, we do also offer the All Disciplines Award, and there's another option available as well. So be sure to view those. And then another interesting thing, it's available in 3 different countries, China, Hong Kong, Japan. Different parts of the region are looking for scholars to teach the United States. And so these are kind of great for American studies, American history scholars to engage in the region there. So be sure to check those. And moving on.
So moving on, I want to talk about some highlighted awards to Europe and Eurasia. And I do want to answer a question that came in. We will archive this webinar and share not only the video of the webinar, but also the slide deck. So someone asked about if this slide deck will be available. We will make this available to everyone who registered for the webinar. And also, you'll find this archived on our website in a few days, in a few business days. But let's talk about some highlights for Europe and Eurasia. So I want to talk first about Albania. There's a new award in investigative journalism at the Department of Journalism in Tirana University, a wonderful way to engage with the Fulbright program in the field of journalism. In Finland, there's a new all-disciplines award where the location is specifically the University of Vaasa on the western coast of Finland. So that university is looking for applicants in a variety of disciplines, and that's a new award this year. We also have a new award that is really, really interesting. It's an Iceland-Greece award focused on economic crisis management. It's a 6-month award where you'd spend 3 months in each country and you'd be at any university research organization or a similar kind of organization in each country, really focused on the economic crisis of 2008 and how these countries handled the sort of aftermath of that. So really, really interesting award. One of of very few awards that feature more than one country, but that's a brand new award for this year, the Iceland-Greece Economic Crisis Management Award. Ireland also has a new award in entrepreneurship and business innovation. It's a three-month award at the Letterkenny Institute of Technology. Romania has a media literacy and cybersecurity award, and that's a priority field for Romania. And then Spain has a number of new and continuing awards at the University of Murcia in a variety of different academic fields. And moving from Europe, I'll hand over the slides to Michelle to talk about the Middle East and North Africa.
Great, thank you. So in the MENA region, we have several new award offerings. In Qatar, we have a very brand new award. It's the Postdoc Fellowship in Water, Energy, and Environment. And this is a high priority for the ECA, Educational and Cultural Affairs, that is part of the State Department that sponsors the Fulbright program. And so the All Disciplines Award to Qatar, as well as the Postdoc Fellowship, they're really looking forward to sending a good number of scholars there. So please do check that out if that pertains to your field of expertise. Egypt, we recently opened this last year to American scholars, and so American University is a wonderful place to be collaborating there. In Cairo, it is a top priority institution, and you can see they're interested in visual and performing arts, sciences, and business administration. For the All Disciplines Award to Egypt, there is a flex option available. The flex option simply refers to the ability to carry out the project in more than one visit. And then with Israel, they do offer very generous postdoctoral funding. It's one of the more robust programs in terms of postdocs. So there are 8 senior scholar fellowships on one hand, so for more senior scholars, and then we do offer the 8 postdocs for 1 or up to 2 years in length. So Israel, lots going on there, lots of interest in hosting American scholars, seasoned scholars, as well as newly minted PhDs. And then moving on to Jordan, I want to note that Jordan's stipend levels have increased this year, and in addition to the All Disciplines Award, they do offer the nursing award, or they're interested in having TEFL applicants, as well as nurses who can teach, and also in American studies and migration studies. And so those are kind of the key priority areas for Jordan. I'd also like to highlight the Morocco-Spain Award. This award came to us last year. It's exciting. It's a great opportunity to collaborate with the two countries for 7 to 10 months, and so you would divide your time between the two. And it is open to all disciplines, and they do mention specific specializations that they're interested in. And then lastly, in the West Bank, Palestinian territories, West Bank specifically, we do offer a 5 to 10 month grant. It is open to all disciplines, and there is a list of potential hosts that you can contact for more information. In general, in this region, the dependent tuition, if you're bringing children along or dependents, for the dependent tuition reimbursements are available almost in every country in this region. So they really do encourage Fulbrighters bringing their family. And in general, Fulbright is very family friendly. So. Okay, moving on to the South and Central Asia region. So we do have a new award to India. In addition to the All Disciplines Award to India and the Distinguished Chair, India is offering a new climate fellowship. It's called the Kalam Climate Fellowship. There are 3 grants available, and the key is really to build long-term capacity to address climate change issues, and they're really looking for scholars in related fields, so environmental sciences, geography, geology, etc. So the scientific and technical collaboration available there, and there are several. They're open to any appropriate institution, so you can affiliate not just with universities, but also research centers, think tanks, etc. So please do contact us if you'd like more information about that. The Maldives has updated some information about their award. They're offering now 2 grants. It's a teaching-only grant for 6 months, and they do start, they have a specific start date of January. It is open to all disciplines, and the scholar will be affiliated with the Maldivian National University. It is the one main university in the country. Sri Lanka is continuing to offer 3 grants. It is open to all disciplines. They have a very active Fulbright Commission there who assists scholars with placements, and also, you know, they have the orientation, et cetera. So Sri Lanka is a wonderful opportunity for scholars to do environmental studies or tourism studies or business, et cetera. So it is open to all disciplines, and please have a look at the award description for more information. And last but not least, the new award we're offering pertains to the Central Asia region. So traditionally we had a TEFL award to Kazakhstan, and now they've opened it up to the Kyrgyz Republic, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan. This is a wonderful opportunity for scholars who are TEFL experts to, you know, train the teachers there, the English teachers, to really help develop curriculum and make an impact. We ask that you rank the country of preference. So you would list all these, all 5 countries in the order of preference, and then the embassies there would work to place you.
So moving on, I want to talk about some highlighted opportunities in sub-Saharan Africa. So Eswatini, which you may know as Swaziland, has a real interest in scholars focused on projects in business administration, economics, and math. Botswana has interest and awards focusing on computing, including specializations like mobile technologies and multimedia, network security and computer forensics. That's a 10-month award at Botho University in Botswana. Burkina Faso, there's a focus on engineering and environmental sciences, a 10-month award at the International Institute for Water and Environmental Engineering in Ouagadougou. And finally, Sudan has restarted in 2018 after almost a 20-year hiatus, and the post, the U.S. Embassy, is particularly interested and excited about increasing the capacity of Sudanese institutions through their scholar program. Let's move to the Western Hemisphere and talk about what is going on in this region. Western Hemisphere, of course, includes Canada to Chile and everything in between. So let's start north and head south. Canada, we have a new award to Canada, the Field Open Award Research Chair. This is an opportunity to affiliate with either St. Mary's University or York University, and there are a wide variety of specializations, including fine arts, nursing, social work, law, and business, among many, many others. Honduras has an all-disciplines award that has been with us for many, many competitions, but the award opened to focus not just on teaching and or research, but also professional projects. So this is a new focal point for the all-disciplines award to Honduras. This is not a new award, but I do want to highlight the Mexico Science and Technology Award. This is a wonderful opportunity for folks in a wide variety of STEM disciplines to affiliate with a Mexican institution. Public policy and health initiatives are considered priority areas of interest. And again, this is a wonderful opportunity for folks in the STEM fields to affiliate with Mexico. Then I want to talk about an award that launched last year, a Distinguished Chair Award in American Studies at the Federal University of Minas Gerais in Brazil. This is a 4-month combination teaching research grant and seeking projects in a wide variety of fields related to American studies. So what we want to do now is give you a quick tour of our website and our catalog of awards. So much of the success of applying for a Fulbright program is finding the right opportunity for you. So I want to show you some of the resources that you have available to you on our website and our catalog of awards to help you get general information, but also to get specific information about the right kinds of awards for you. So if you'll bear with me just a second, I'm going to pause my screen and pull up our website so I can share that with you. And while I do that, I want to encourage you to chat in any questions that you have. We will have time for Q&A after the webinar. And right now, you should be able to see our website. So our website, CIES.org, has a large amount of resources available to you. We will send you the link to not only our website, but also a breakdown of some of the resources available to you. But we have general information about the program, information about our different kinds of programs and different aspects of our programs, news and media posts, general information about the program in general, the awards catalog, our scholar directory. There's so much on our website, and we want you to get familiar with it and use it as a resource. And again, everyone that registered for this webinar will be sent a list of some digital resources that they'll find helpful when they're applying for the Fulbright Scholar Program. But let's look at our catalog of awards. So our catalog of awards just refreshed with opportunities for 2020-2021 earlier this week. And I want to give you a very quick overview of our catalog of awards, which will help you find information that's relevant to your interest and the kinds of projects that fit into what you'd like to do. So our award catalog is awards.cies.org. And again, don't worry about writing down URLs. We will send you links to all of this information. Our initial search function is pretty foundational. So you can search by region, you can search by country, or you can search by discipline. But let's do an advanced search to see some of the advanced options that you have that can really help you narrow down the kinds of awards that fit into what your profile is, but also what you're hoping to do. Again, you have that regional search, so you can search any of our regions. You can search by a particular country of interest. You can search if an award features a multi-country aspect or not. Again, of our about 450 awards, most of them do not feature multi-country aspects. Most of them are to go to one specific country, but about a dozen or so are to go to more than one country. And Michelle and I highlighted some of those awards. You can also search by discipline at large. So, you know, we talked a lot about, for example, something that came up a lot was American Studies-focused awards. You can just search for awards focused on American Studies or a variety of different disciplines. Keep in mind things like engineering and education. These are very, very, very broad search terms, and that's okay in the beginning of your search. You definitely want to cast a very wide net at first and then narrow down and refine your search. But again, think very broadly at first, and then eventually you'll narrow down to find the right kinds of awards for you. You can also search by activity. So does the award support professional projects, teaching, research, or some combination thereof? You can search by grant length. So as you can see, you can search if an award offers a flex grant, meaning that you can segment the award to small multiple small visits, and then search by other grant length parameters, under 3 months to more than 10 months. You can search by degree requirement. Does the award require a PhD or terminal degree or not? And then you can search by category. Is it a Distinguished Chair Award? Is it a postdoc award? Is it a seminar? You can search by professional profile. Is it only open to academics? Is it open to folks who are practitioners outside of academia? And then finally, you can search by invitation letter. So you can the requirement of an invitation letter will vary greatly depending on the country, depending on the award. And you can search for awards where the invitation letter is required, is optional, where it should not be sought, and sort of every iteration of that. So I want to do a quick demonstration of an award search. Why don't we search for... Let's look at India, for example. So if we just search for awards in India, we see 5 awards come up in India. And here's the Kollam Climate Fellowship Award that Michelle talked about, the Nehru Distinguished Chair All Disciplines Award, the International Education Administrators Program, the Academic and Professional Excellence Award. So why don't we open that? So this is the India All Disciplines Award. The official title is the Fulbright Nehru Academic and Professional Excellence Awards. When we open the award description, we see a number of different tabs that give us different information. The first tab that opens is the Award Details tab, and this gives us a sense of the grant activity, the kinds of things that you can do on this award. It also gives us other parameters of the grant. We see that this is a 4 to 9 month grant, but flex grants are also available on this award. Flex grants can be 4 to 6 months. We see the grant dates available, so grants can begin anytime after July 1st of 2020. We see some information about locations where you could affiliate on this award. There's one region of India where you are not able to affiliate, but throughout India, throughout most of India, you are able to affiliate with universities, colleges, think tanks, NGOs, etc. And then there are additional insights around the award, but truly this award is open to all academic disciplines. This is, I believe, the biggest award that we have on our catalog. There is one award, but there are 45 grants available, meaning that under this one award, up to 45 scholars can be funded for this grant. This award supports projects that focus on research, on teaching, or a combination of teaching and research. And for this award, a PhD or other terminal degree is not required. We also have contact information of the IIE team members that are working directly on this award, and you can see Michelle's contact information for this award. Michelle works on India. Let's look at the next tab, award requirements. So we see that for this award, a letter of invitation is optional, meaning that you are able to apply for this award without a letter of invitation at the point of application. There's additional information around invitation requirements and also language requirements. So all teaching can be done in English. Additional language proficiency is not required. If you are proposing research, a basic knowledge of a local language in a location of research can be an advantage. So keep that in mind. But you would see information around the grant parameters and the award parameters in these different tabs. Let's look at the award benefits. This is a sort of general idea of what the award could provide to you. We don't confirm actual award amounts until it's conferred to actual grantees, but this is a general idea of what the award could provide. And let's look at the last tab, the country area overview. So this gives you some insight about the country and its engagement with the Fulbright program. So this is a very open-ended award with a large amount of grants available. I do want to showcase another award just to give you a sense of the range of awards that are available. So not every award will look like this. Many awards have very particular requirements around specializations or around locations in the country or institutions in the country where you can focus and be affiliated. So let's contrast this with Colombia. So we have two awards to Colombia. We have an All Disciplines Award to Colombia, but we also have a Distinguished Chair Award in Biodiversity and Sustainable Development at the Universidad Nacional de Colombia. So this, unlike the India All Disciplines Award, the Colombia Biodiversity Award is a very, very focused award at a particular institution in Colombia with a particular set of academic disciplines. So in opening this award, we see the same four tabs. I want to look at the award details to give you a sense of, you know, what this award is looking for. So there's one grant available. For this award, you can either just research or conduct projects that focus on a combination of teaching and research. So you cannot just teach on this award. So if you only want to teach, this isn't the award for you. But if you want to research or conduct a combination of teaching and research, this is a good award option for you if the other parameters fit into your profile and the kind of project that you want to do. We are looking for folks with a PhD or other terminal degree available. A PhD or other terminal degree. This award features a grant that is either for that's anywhere from 4 to 6 months, and there is a flex option available. You can only affiliate with the National University of Columbia. There is some variety of which campus that you can affiliate with, but you can only really affiliate with this one institution. And then there are a set number of disciplines focused on the award, you know, disciplines that are sought by the award. In the award requirements, we can, again, see some other insights around what the parameters of the award are. So a letter of invitation is required for this award, and there are language requirements that will vary, but in general, intermediate or higher level Spanish proficiency is recommended. We do want a PhD, a minimum of 4 years of relevant research, and there's some information around if you are a dual U.S. citizen with Colombia, around, you know, how you would enter the country. Again, this is actually a good point because some countries do not allow dual citizens of the U.S. and that country to participate in the Fulbright U.S. Scholar programs. Others don't have that restriction. Colombia and India, I believe, Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong, India does support dual U.S. Indian citizens, but Colombia certainly does as well. Information around that will be written into the award description. So I hope that's been a helpful sort of quick overview of our catalog of awards and our website. I'm going to pause my screen for just a second and pull up the PowerPoint again so that we can continue with the presentation.
And while Peter's doing that, we've received several questions that have come in, so I'm just going to take a look at, see if we can start answering some of those. So let's see. One of the questions we have is, what are typical stipends? What costs are covered in terms of travel or accommodations, et cetera? And so as Peter showed during the walkthrough just now of the catalog, each country offers a different stipend, and even awards might offer different stipends. So a postdoc award would have a different stipend, even if it were in the same country, as compared with a distinguished chair award. So it's important to take a look at the award description because they do vary per living standards, et cetera. Back to you, Peter.
Sure, and you should all be able to see the PowerPoint again. I brought up some some of our FAQs, but I want to go and see what questions we have. So can you explain a bit more about what a priority institution or project might mean? Again, that's going to be written into the award description. So part of what makes a strong Fulbright application is relevancy to the country. So certain countries will have, have very, very sought after disciplines. And so that's really something that will be written into the award description. I can speak sort of broadly about the Western Hemisphere. Certainly in Latin America, there is interest in things like teaching English as a second language and the sort of pedagogy around that. There's interest in business development and sort of, you know, there are priority fields for regions and countries. You want to make sure that your project is relevant to the country, and sometimes our awards do speak to that in the award description. So you certainly, if the award, like the TEFL award in Mexico, for example, or the Central American, the Central Asia, rather, TEFL award, you know, teaching English is a priority for that award. If you're an engineer, you're not really going to apply it to that award. Other awards are very open-ended, and they may have preferred disciplines, but really, all discipline awards tend to be very broad-based. But as you can see from the variety of different awards, some awards will list out specific disciplines that are sought out, and you may be limited to certain institutions depending on the country or the award, whereas contrast that with India, where you could affiliate on the All Disciplines Award to India with a wide variety of not just universities, but also cultural institutes, think tanks, et cetera. So that information will be written into the award description.
Okay, we have another question. I'm soon to be a PhD. When do I have to have everything finished? So that's a good question. We ask for most awards, but the standard answer is February 1st of the year following your application. So if you apply this year by September 16th, you are expected to have your PhD completed by February 1st of 2020, unless, however, it's stated otherwise in the award description. So today I was looking at a postdoc award in Australia, and I noted that as long as the grantee has the postdoc, their PhD completed by the time the grant starts, they are eligible. So it's important to take a look at the postdoc awards and see what they require. But the standard answer is February 1st, 2020.
So we have a question about funding. How does funding work? Does it is it handled between the home institution and the scholar? Is it dispersed directly? It's dispersed. So when you are awarded a grant, you receive the funds yourself directly. So we don't administer the grants through your home institution in the U.S. They are dispersed to you directly as a scholar. I see another question. How are we able to assist communication with universities? Wait, I'm just scrolling a second. Bear with me. I've contacted universities to introduce myself, and no one has responded. What do you recommend? So as I showed in the walkthrough of the catalog, at a bare minimum, there is contact information of the IIE team member that works directly on that award. So feel free to reach out to us. We're not always able to connect you with folks in the countries of interest, but sometimes there are resources available for specific countries. So, for example, with a lot of the Caribbean countries that I work with directly, we have written into the award description contacts at universities or U.S. embassies that we refer to as POST. The U.S. embassy staff may be able to assist you with those kinds of things, and we are able to, whenever possible, direct you to those resources. But again, at the bare minimum, there is contact information of the IIE team member working directly on that award. Something I also would like to recommend if you're stuck finding a host institution for a particular country is looking at our scholar directory, which you can filter by the host country. You can filter by your home institution and see if someone from your institution has gone to the country of focus, or even see, you know, where all your colleagues from your institution have gone, and maybe they can serve as resources for you. Also, if your university has a lot of MOUs or has connections with institutions overseas, that could be a source of potential information of how to find a good host for you in the target country. But again, if nothing else, there is contact information for the IIE team member who works directly on that award. We can't always make the connections for you, but we're happy to share whatever resources that we can with you. Okay, and I'm going to scroll just to see other questions. We have a few more. Okay, we have a question. I want to go to a particular region and take my family. How worried should I be about safety? That's something that you should reach out to us about if you have concerns. Generally, we work with the travel advisory, and so if there are concerns around safety, we can assist you with getting information about that. And in many cases, the U.S. embassies will be able to also provide insight and information about, you know, safe regions in whatever country or you know, options for going to a particular country.
And Peter, if I can also add to that, typically the regions, if there's a region in a particular country that's kind of off limits, that'll be stated in the award description. And likewise, if the entire country is off limits, then the program will be suspended or on hold. So we try and, the Fulbright Scholar Program is very in tune with the travel alerts and the different levels of safety and awareness. So that's something that the State Department keeps in mind when they offer these awards.
And again, we would never send an American citizen to a place where we felt it was dangerous. So, that's a valid concern, so we never want to downplay that, but, you know, definitely reach out to us if you have concerns around around, you know, particular countries or regions in particular countries, and you're not sure about safety. We have a question about disability needs. Are there extra expenses for travel, extra accommodations? So as you saw in our diversity statement, we want the scholars from all backgrounds, all experiences, and we do partner with Mobility International USA, MIUSA, the National Clearinghouse, and there are resources available. So for the person that chatted in that question, I will share some general resources with you as well as contact for Mobility International USA. There are resources for applicants with disabilities that have, you know, that want to talk through some options and find out what's available to them. There are resources. Is it possible to do postdoc research within the U.S.? I live on a Native American reservation. My research involves indigenous women leadership. So unfortunately, the Fulbright U.S. program does not, you cannot conduct scholarly work in the U.S. Your work would have to be outside of the U.S. on the U.S. Scholar Program. That being said, we have wonderful programs throughout the Western Hemisphere that focus on indigenous populations, including Canada has a research chair. You would have to, that's not a postdoc award, but it's focused on indigenous resiliencies. So they're a wonderful way to affiliate with Canadian institutions focusing on the native populations of Canada and certainly other countries throughout the Western Hemisphere. But again, on the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, you would have to conduct your scholarly work outside of the U.S.
Okay, Peter, we have a question. For someone just starting their PhD dissertation, what awards can I apply to conduct research for my dissertation? So the answer to that would be checking the student program, the Fulbright U.S. student program. So they fund research and study grants up to dissertation. So if you haven't, if you require some field work and some assistance to do your field work abroad, but you haven't started writing the dissertation, then you would be eligible for the Fulbright student program. The scholar program is only for applicants who've already completed their studies. So you cannot be currently enrolled in a you cannot be enrolled in a program when the grant starts. So in other words, you do need to finish your degree, whether it's a PhD or a terminal degree, by the time the grant starts. So again, the student program would be something for PhD students who are currently enrolled in a PhD program but haven't begun their dissertation. That would be something for you to check. Yes, and we also had a suggestion, yes, PhD students can also check out the Fulbright HAZE. That's administered by the Department of Education, so that really doesn't come under our purview, but the Fulbright HAZE is a research grant, and there's more information on the Department of Education's website for that. Thank you.
If we have multiple research interests that we're interested in pursuing, should we only discuss one with our potential host or introduce multiple potential projects? So a lot of this will be contextualized by the award itself. If it's a very broad-based all disciplines award, like, for example, the India Award, you know, if you have multiple interests that and the host institution is interested in hosting you and able to accommodate your various interests, that should not be a problem. But if an award is very, very focused on a particular discipline or a particular project, for example, you know, that's going to vary greatly by the award. Generally, though, when awards are open-ended, sort of, you know, a lot of the design of the project is up to you. So much of the parameters are going to come from your discussion and agreement with the host institution overseas. So, you know, as if the award allows sort of multifaceted interests and projects, which most of them do, then really the refinement, the sort of parameters and the structure of the award comes in the discussion that you have with the host institution. A lot of times that comes up in teaching combination teaching research awards where, you know, is there a preferred proportion of teaching to research or vice versa? Generally that, if there is, it will be written into the award description. So for example, I'll give you a good example. Jamaica, previously Jamaica for teaching research, they wanted a proportion of a particular proportion that was written into the award description. But if that's not written into the award description, it's up to your discussion with the host institution. But for example, for teaching research projects in Jamaica, really the goal is to have 45-45-10, with the 10% being outreach. And what does that mean? It's sort of your discussion with the host institution in Jamaica. And that's a good example of a country that does have a prescribed ratio of teaching to research. Many of them do not, and the sort of decision of how much teaching versus research happens in the discussion that you have with the host institution.
Okay, and I just wanted to get back to the question about the person who is interested or eligible for the student program. Please note that the student program operates very differently from the scholar program. We, in the scholar program, have a set number of awards that offer certain, grant activities, whereas the student program, you propose a particular project to that country. So there isn't the catalog of awards per se, or a concept of all disciplines awards. So please do check that website for more information. And also, most universities do have a Fulbright program advisor who is usually in the fellowships office or the international scholarships office who can assist students. Unlike the scholar program, the applicants to the student program typically apply through their university.
So I have a question about our Global Scholar Award. Our Global Scholar Award, thank you for asking that question. That is an award where you are applying to conduct a project in two or three countries, and they must be in two different world regions. So that is, it's a very unique award. It's an opportunity to go to more than one country, but again, they must be in two different world regions, anywhere from two to three countries. That award does attract a lot of interest because it is very unique. As I explained before, most of our awards are to go to one particular country. I will say that if you're applying for the Global Scholar Award, you do have to sort of have a project that is relevant to both or all three countries. We have a separate set of advising materials and resources for folks that are interested in the Global Scholar Program. But again, that's somewhat of a unique award. The overwhelming majority of our 450-plus awards are to go to one particular country.
So I just want to also point out, we have a question about not, someone looking through the award options and perhaps not finding a good match. There are over 450 award offerings available, so please do kind of, as Peter showed earlier, you can filter award results by checking checking off a particular discipline in a particular region or a particular grant length or grant activity. But I also want to point out that the Fulbright Specialist Program is also available. We've had lots of interest in that. And so we at IIE do not administer that. But if you go online and go on their website, Fulbright Specialist Program, so you will find opportunities for short-term projects. They're more consultation kind of projects that are 2 to 6 weeks in length. It, again, is a completely different process than the scholar program. You actually, for the specialist program, you apply to be on the roster. So, and then depending on what what institutions are looking for abroad. Based on your profile, they match you to the project abroad, and then you can get up to 2 placements while you're on the roster for 3 years. So please do check that website if you feel that perhaps a scholar grant isn't the right fit at this time.
We had a question about folks that are listed as contacts in the award at overseas. So if you have contacted someone that's listed as a contact at a potential host institution or at a U.S. embassy and you're not hearing from them, absolutely reach out to the IIE team member and we can generally assist with that. So in some cases, folks, there is turnover and sometimes we don't always catch it. But if you are reaching out to people that are listed as contacts in our award and you're not hearing back from them, feel free to reach out to us and we can try our best to assist. I'm just scrolling through to see if we have any other questions. We do have a few more minutes, but before we get to any last questions, I do want to pull up a slide with some contact information. We encourage you to join my Fulbright at CIES2.org. That is a way to engage with us and indicate your interest either by country or by discipline or other factors and receive segmented messages around program updates, campus visits, webinars, etc. Also, you can email us at scholars@iie.org if we don't get to your question. You can visit our website to learn more about the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, and we certainly have and encourage you to engage in our referral program where you can refer your colleagues if you feel that colleagues of yours may be interested in doing a Fulbright or learning more about Fulbright. You can indicate if you'd like us to mention your name or not, but we encourage you to refer your colleagues if you have colleagues that you think would be interested in the Fulbright program.
Okay, so I just wanted to go back, Peter, we had another question about the Global Scholar Award. And so the question is, if you have a good project, is the Global Scholars Program more competitive? So I think actually what we want to communicate with the Global Scholar Award is it is a very popular award, so and by nature, since more than one country needs to be interested and approve of your award, so by default it is more competitive because instead of just applying to Brazil, for example, if you have a project for Brazil, South Africa, and India, all 3 countries need to be interested and approve of your project. So it's kind of, 3 times or 2 times more competitive in that sense. But what I would say is if your project does require that you visit these 2 or 3 countries across 2 or 3 world regions, and that's the only way it makes sense, by all means. If you're tracking, for example, a particular bird when they're in, the Western Hemisphere, and then when they go to Sub-Saharan Africa, absolutely that makes sense. If, however, or Europe and Sub-Saharan Africa, but if you're, for example, if the project, when you really look at it, if it really floats better in one country, then just go for that single country grant because the Global Scholar Award is really something meant for projects that require scholars to be in more than one country. Okay, Peter, do we want to take another question or wrap it up now?
I think we're out of questions, so I do want to thank everyone for joining us today. It's always great to join us at it. This is the first sort of webinar. This is the first webinar of our newly launched competition, which launched on Monday. So you're getting connected to us right at the beginning of the competition. We really, really, really thank you for your interest and attention. And if we didn't get to your question or you think of something else, definitely feel free to reach out to us at scholars@iie.org. We will follow up with everyone that registered for this webinar with some digital resources. And once we archive the webinar, so we'll archive the video as well as the slide deck on our website, we'll send that out to everyone as well.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining, and have a wonderful rest of the day. Thank you. Bye-bye.